field trip. A few months after completing In the Field, I returned with my daughter to Vietnam, where we visited the site of Kiowa's death and where I looked for signs of forgiveness or personal grace or whatever else the land might offer. The field was still there, though not as I remembered it, much smaller, I thought, and not nearly so menacing, and in the bright sunlight it was hard to picture what had happened on this ground some 20 years ago. Except for a few marshy spots along the river, everything was bone dry. No ghosts, just a flat, grassy field. The place was at peace. There were yellow butterflies. There was a breeze and a wide blue sky. Along the river, two old farmers stood in ankle-deep water repairing the same narrow dike where we had laid out Kiowa's body after pulling him from the muck. Things were quiet. At one point, I remember one of the farmers looked up and shaded his eyes, staring across the field at us. Then, after a time, he wiped his forehead and went back to work. I stood with my arms folded, feeling the grip of sentiment and time. Amazing, I thought. 20 years. Behind me in the jeep, my daughter Kathleen sat waiting with a government interpreter, and now and then I could hear the two of them talking in soft voices. They were already fast friends. Neither of them, I think, understood what all this was about, why I'd insisted that we search out this spot. It had been a hard 2-hour ride from Quang Ngai City, bumpy dirt roads in a hot August sun, ending up at an empty field on the edge of nowhere. I took out my camera, snapped a couple of pictures, then stood gazing out at the field. After a time, Kathleen got out of the jeep and stood beside me. "You know what I think?" she said. "I think this place stinks. It smells like, God, I don't even know what. It smells rotten." "It sure does, I know that." "So when can we go?" "Pretty soon," I said. She started to say something, but then hesitated. Frowning, she squinted out at the field for a second, then shrugged and walked back to the jeep. Kathleen had just turned 10, and this trip was a kind of birthday present, showing her the world, offering a small piece of her father's history. For the most part, she'd held up well, far better than I, and over the first 2 weeks she'd trooped along without complaint as we hit the obligatory tourist stops, Ho Chi Minh's mausoleum in Hanoi, a model farm outside Saigon, the tunnels at Cu Chi, the monuments and government offices and orphanages. Through most of this, Kathleen had seemed to enjoy the foreignness of it all, the exotic food and animals, and even during those periods of boredom and discomfort, she'd kept up a good-humored tolerance. At the same time, however, she seemed a bit puzzled. The war was as remote to her as cavemen and dinosaurs. One morning in Saigon, she asked what it was all about. "This whole war," she said. "Why was everybody so mad at everybody else?" I shook my head. They weren't mad, exactly. Some people wanted one thing, other people wanted another thing. "What did you want?" "Nothing," I said. "To stay alive."
"That's all?"
"Yes."
Kathleen sighed. "Well, I don't get it. I mean, how come you are even here in the first place?"
"I don't know," I said, "because I had to be."
"But why?"
I tried to find something to tell her. But finally I shrugged and said, "It's a mystery, I guess. I don't know." For the rest of the day she was very quiet. That night, though, just before bedtime, Kathleen put her hand on my shoulder and said, "You know something? Sometimes you're pretty weird, aren't you?"
"Well, no," I said.
"You are, too." She pulled her hand away and frowned at me.
"Like coming over here. Some dumb thing happens a long time ago and you can't ever forget it."
"And that's bad?"
"No," she said quietly. "That's weird."